Vision for the Nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host and guests and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
they'll need to immediately, and that's like tomorrow or the next day, lower the prime rate another half a point or more, and to show that the Fed is doing something about what's going on. And it could be that that would be the excuse, that the markets were all in disarray and that they had to step in with lower rates in order to bring a lack of volatility into the market. And so that may be what they're up to. I expect that in the next couple of days they'll try to put a plus on the Dow and the other averages, and they'll probably successfully do that, but it's not going to last very long. And I think the market will go down to probably around 10,000 on the Dow, and it's not too far from there now, just a couple of thousand points, and as you can see, that can get covered in a week. And I think probably after that, the market will, unless there's some drastic deplorable event that happens, the market will probably trade in a 10 to 12,000 range to the election. And then after that, we'll test 72.68. And depending upon the circumstances at that time, it will either hold or it will not hold. In the meantime, gold was off 17.10 today in the access market, but don't let that fool you, because the Fed and the working group and financial markets use that market to depress prices. They'll hit that market.
Hold that thought right there, Bob. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman, and certainly we've been talking about the Working Group on Financial Matters. And you can Google that in if you want to know about it. We call it the Plunge Protection Team. It's a group that is authorized to manipulate the market because they're playing games with the minds of the people. After all, if the market were just to fall, why, people would panic and they'd even be more concerned about what's happening. And, of course, you've got to lull people to sleep. So they manipulate this. Of course, as Bob pointed out, they're manipulating the gold market. And certainly they knocked gold down $17 today. Silver was off about 50 cents. And it's all manipulation, ladies and gentlemen, done by the government who really knows what's best for us. But, of course, they cannot keep these prices down because gold is an international commodity now. The Chinese are buying it frantically. The Indians are buying it. Certainly Russia's increasing their gold holdings. And of course, we have relatively little in the way of gold holdings, nothing behind the massive currency expansion that we're experiencing. Pick up the story there, Bob, please.
Well, they will continue to try to affect the gold market, but I think the gold market probably will open early on unchanged in London, which was off about $9 to $10, and if they come in prior to the COMEX opening, which is an hour before the regular market opening, then gold will rally to even. And if they are successful in holding the Dow at a 200 or 300 point loss, gold will stay even and perhaps might even go up. I saw a little precursor to that today when some of the big producers showed plus signs right into the end of the day. So that is encouraging. But this is a short-term machination again. So what do we have to do? We have to hold our positions, and if we can do some buying, it's a great time to do it because, you know, the prices move down. And
you're talking about buying gold, of course, not buying stocks.
Right. Buying gold and silver-related assets, which would be bullion and coins and shares. I usually don't recommend the commodity market to people unless it's a professionally managed account, because you really shouldn't be doing that. In fact, you shouldn't even be trading because, you know, I was a trader for 25 years as a broker, And I can tell you it's pretty difficult. I think the average trader is probably right 52 or 3% of the time, and that's enough to make a good living. But the average person trying to trade market, forget it.
In fact, I love that line, you know, the commodities is a wonderful way to make a small fortune out of a large fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Go right ahead.
So there are some great commodity brokers out there, but you know, you got to have a strong stomach.
I don't think that any of our listeners should ever think about it. Believe me, when I was young and foolish, I did it, and you know, if you could break even, you were ahead, that's for sure.
Well, you're right, and but anyway, gold and silver is the answer, and it has been for the last 7 years. We've been on the wagon from the very beginning, and our subscribers have made enormous amounts of money. And they also have shorting the market as well, and that's just great. I'm happy about that, needless to say, and I hope I continue in that vein. But I think we've seen the correction in gold, and I think the gold and the shares are ready to go back up again. And you know, when you have the biggest bull market in the history of mankind, why would you want to own anything else but gold and silver related assets? I'm befuddled when people tell me, well, let's do this and let's do that. And normally it's okay, but not in this market.
Well,
I mean, you get a license to win.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand what's happening with the derivative market, because this is a market that Bob's been talking about for a long time. It's over $550 trillion in derivatives this last a week. Why there's a corporation known as ACA that has about $69 billion in derivatives and about $450 million in assets, and they've written down the rating on this company. So suddenly they've got to come up with a lot of that, those billions of dollars, and they don't have those billions of dollars. Now, what's going to happen is that this company is going to go bankrupt, ACA, and then some of the really big derivative writers like APAC and MBIA. I mean, these people are, you know, ACA is just a little, they've only got $69 billion in derivatives. These contracts are guaranteed that the people who owe on the bonds will pay the interest on it, but these others are also getting into trouble, at least the APAC is, and it looks like they're going to go into bankruptcy as well, and then there are going to be all these people with these derivative contracts that think that that's going to make that their, you know, their bonds are going to be safe, and suddenly they're going to find their bonds aren't safe. And then what happens when an insurance company, or what happens when a pension company has bonds that are not AAA rated?
Well, they have to sell them, because usually their rules of their pension fund or foundation or whatever says that they have to have AAA rated paper. And they were really buying the AAA rating very often of the insurer, who, in ACA's case, they're really bankrupt. And MBIA and MBAC are in the same position. They both got about $1 billion coming in. No, just MBIC has $1 billion. MBAC couldn't draw that kind of money. And so they had their rating drop from AAA to AA, which knocks out many of their client supporters. And that means that they can't continue to own bonds of that rating.
And of course, that means they're going to
have the bonds, in other words, have to be re-rated, and municipals are particularly vulnerable because most of them don't have AAA ratings. They might have a B or a BB or a triple V, and it could be junk. And what happens is they join up with that insurance company, ACA or AMBAC, and they get their rating of AAA. And so that's how they're more easily allowed to sell bonds at better rates.
But of course, a lot of our municipalities, school boards, they're not going to have the money to pay the interest on their bonds down the line as this economy continues to shrivel up. And so, I mean, they're going to begin defaulting on some of those bonds. And when they default on the bonds, then that means, of course, that the people who own those bonds are going to be in real trouble.
Well, you're right. They are. And particularly pension funds, where if I'm correct and the market goes back, because it's still in a bear market, and which it was in 2001, and it was only interrupted by what the Fed did to interest rates and real estate, et cetera. And I think we're going to revisit 72-68.
You're talking about the stock market.
And that's the Dow.
Right.
And you'll have these bonds collapsing at the same time that the Dow is headed down. And so, you know, you could be looking at a double whammy here on pension funds and maybe a quadruple because, you know, they've been in residential real estate development and they're very heavy in hedge funds and they're very heavy in commercial real estate, which in the last 6 months has virtually collapsed. It, depending upon where you go and what you're doing, it's down anywhere between 15% and 30%, and that's only the beginning. And so I think it's going to be a very, very, very difficult time for these institutions, though, no matter what quarter they're in. And there's going to be a lot of people who may in the future get reduced pensions. And, of course, if that happens, I'm sure that Social Security will be cut. And so, you know, there's all things, sorts of things going on out there, and unfortunately, they're all bad. And I don't expect it's going to get any better. You know, I talk to families who are already talking to their children and grandchildren about depression, what it's like, what happens, and all of those sort of things. And so I think people realize that the American dream is dead and it's been destroyed by our private banking community and the Federal Reserve, which is part of that, and people within the U.S. government, in particular in Congress. They've all allowed these things to happen or helped them be generated. And the result is going to be, for the whole world, mind you, is going to be very painful, but particularly in America, because you have a lot of elements that could cause problems, and particularly in larger cities. I mean, they say the crime rates are lower, and that's probably true. But if you look at the statistics a little more closely, you'll find that there's still plenty of crime out there. And, you know, when you have a bad economy, crime's going to get much worse because desperate people do desperate things.
Right. And, Chris, you know, it was Lenin who said there's no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch its currency. And not one person in a million will know what you're doing. Well, they've debauched our currency. And, of course, out of that, I believe Bob is right. We're going to see increasing chaos and crisis as people really don't have the income. They're not going to be able to get the good jobs or you know, jobs at all. Jobs are going to get increasingly hard to get. Well, we are moving into very difficult times. I'm not a financial advisor, but I want you to know that I'm very concerned. We'll be right back. Okay, Bob, go right ahead.
So I think that, as they say from the Edward Albee play, there's going to be a period of adjustment, and it's going to be a very, very difficult one. And again, as so often in the last many years on your program and in others, I've told people it's not too late to get your credit cards paid off and your revolving credit and your vehicles, because there's a good chance that this coming year one of you may not have a job that's producing income for your family. Most husbands and wives both work today, usually. And so I think it's important that you do that, and you still have time to do it. And that kind of debt now is no longer dischargeable in bankruptcy. And more and more people are finding out that, and they have been since 1990, which is 17 years, that if you're over 40 and you get out of a job, usually now you'll take a job, if you're lucky enough to find one, with a wage 25% below what you were making when you last worked, and even if it's in the same field. And that is very, very, you know, difficult. There's a lot of people who, for one reason or another, don't have a job, and even in their 40s, and companies don't want to hire them, they don't want to pay them a higher wage, and they don't want to pay medical for them, and the companies today just treat people like chattel, and that's not right, but that's what they do. And so you have an ever-widening and increasing part of the population, which by my estimates are around 14%, that is unemployed. The government just doesn't count them. All they do is count the currents, and that's it. And even then, they use the birth-death ratio, which is not worth the paper it's written on. And they guesstimate what private industry and individuals have in small and medium-sized companies, what they have done in the way of hiring in any given month. And, of course, it's all ridiculous because it's a pipe dream. The government is just making up any old figures it wants to. And so, you know, you can't depend on them. You know, I read a story about a woman in her 40s today in the Washington Post, and she left the job because she didn't fit. And she went off to get another job, and that was 8 months ago, and she's had in 3 interviews, and she's really trying hard. And it just isn't there. Fortunately, she's single and has savings and doesn't have a lot of encumbrances, so financial at least, and or any children, so she can fare a little bit better than most others. But, you know, she can't find a job. And it bears out what I said about being over 40. And the only possibility you've got is open your own business of some kind. And, you know, you got to have capital to do that. I mean, just a small operation doing next to nothing, you know, can cost you $50,000. And so,
hold that thought. We're
not
be,
easy.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob was just talking the plight of so many people who, you know, have lost their job, and then when they get a new job, why, they are getting paid perhaps 25% less than they were getting paid before. But, of course, what people don't understand is we have inflation, and if you believe the government figures, why you're in real trouble, because they tell us it's 2% or maybe it's 3%, but things are looking better. There's no real threat of inflation. I was reading a article today. It said, you know, actually about 3.5% inflation at the present time. That's why the Federal Reserve System doesn't hesitate at all to put all this additional money in circulation. People don't understand. Inflation has nothing to do with rising prices. It has to do with increasing the money supply. And when I go to the store and I look at grapes, $5.50 a pound. I look at oranges, you know, $3 a pound, $2.50 a pound for oranges. And you begin to realize that what people are having to put out for food today. You know, then look, gasoline, we filled up our propane tank today, cost us $1,400 to fill up our, we have a large propane tank, but we had to fill it up, $1,400, because the price of propane's going up, and heating oil's going up, and diesel and gasoline and anything that's made from petroleum products. And when the government tells you we just don't have any inflation to worry about, or we have a little bit of inflation, but don't worry about it, we ought to worry about it, because this is why nations are destroyed, is because of inflation. It's happened time and time again, and our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They have a different agenda because, of course, their loyalty is not to America, but to this globalist dream of creating a world government, a world religion, and, of course, a new world leader. Go right ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I think, too, that we're seeing a major expansion in the warfare in Afghanistan, and it's going to turn out to be another Iraq. And, you know, we're looking at 10 years absolute minimum now in both places, and they're also having problems in Iraq with opium growing, and that, of course, is the last thing that anyone would want to see happen, but it is. The growing is usually financed by drug dealers, and people tend to it, and then they take it and sell it in the Gulf or Saudi Arabia, where a lot of these supposed very conservative Muslims are using this dope, and so that would make it easier to send it there. And so you're going to have these major distractions, continual maiming and killing of our troops. And
no, but you know, Bob, nobody ever asked, why are we fighting in Afghanistan? We went into Afghanistan to get Osama bin Laden, and we didn't try to get Osama bin Laden. We wouldn't even let the American troops try to get him, and to get Al-Qaeda, and so they're not there anymore. So why are we still in Afghanistan? And why are we funding the Pakistanis who are funding the Taliban who are killing our troops? Doesn't make sense. Well, unless maybe they want this long, prolonged war as a great distraction, and it's another way to bankrupt America.
Well, you're right on both counts, and it's to psychologically divert the attention that is being focused on the monetary problems and unemployment and inflation at the same time, and they want to get people's minds off them, and so if they can send their kids or grandkids over there to get murdered, whether it's in Kosovo or Lebanon or Afghanistan or Pakistan or Iraq or even maybe Iran, which they've been trying to create a war with for a long time, then people will be more worried about what goes on. I once said to an Israeli many years ago that are you concerned about the situation in Israel? And he said, yes, you know, any day you might be dead tomorrow, you know, because of the continuing conflict. And that's the mentality they have there. And they continue to expand their settlements, and they continue to use heavy weapons on essentially innocent civilians, although there are plenty of militants to go around. But these are distractions.
Sure. Well, of course, I mean, America is funding those terrorists. We're giving money to Fatah, which is a terrorist organization. Why are we funding Fatah? I mean, why are we funding the Pakistani government that's funding the Taliban? Maybe people ought to take a second look at what's going on. And I think Bob's absolutely right. I mean, there's no better way to distract the American people than to have a war. And then they don't see what's going on here at home. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Bob Chapman, and we're talking really about what's happening financially in the world. And Bob was just alluding to the fact that, I mean, certainly the war over in Iraq and Afghanistan are a great diversion. And while we're watching the pictures of the tragic unfolding of events over there, and the boy, we see the pictures of the boys coming home with their arms and legs blown off or massive head injuries. We're not thinking that these people are supposedly going overseas to fight for freedom, but we're losing our freedom here. They're destroying the financial infrastructure of our nation. They are certainly moving us towards a police state in the name of fighting terrorism. After all, we've got to fight the terrorists. That's why we've got to take away the freedom of the American people and listen to their telephone calls and get them have ID cards and of course, be able to watch everything that they do. That's why they have all the video cameras going up. I mean, we might pick up Osama bin Laden and one of them, sneaking into Starbucks or something. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, I think you're right about that. I received a communication today from someone who is close to the Central Intelligence Agency and the NSA, and they explained how the criteria for a phone tapping, and it's pretty loose, and it really amounts to anybody who is in print or on radio or television is critical of the government, no matter who's in there, that they should be pursued and hopefully put away for the indiscretion of calling President a warmonger. And so that's what it's all coming to. I mean, like you said, the camps are ready, and why would they build them unless they thought there was going to be a problem?
Right, you build them and then they'll come. I think that's that was the field of dreams.
Right.
All right, fine. Well, of course, our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about really what's unfolding in our country. And people don't understand, of course, Bob alluded to the concentration camps. They have given Halliburton $385 million a year for a four-year contract to be ready to build massive concentration camps on a moment's notice. If anybody would like to check that out, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you the clippings. Why would they want to build them unless they knew that they would come? And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. And certainly we're talking about what's happening financially. And as we pointed out, why, of course, the Asian markets crashed today. I mean, Singapore, certainly Japan. How far down was Japan and Singapore? Do you have any idea, Bob?
Well, I got a good handle on Japan. I made a recommendation in 91 when we first started the publication. The Nikkei Dow was trading between 38,000 and 42,000. And I said a short's in order, probably down to 20,000. And I was right. It went down. And then after that, it rallied a bit, and I put the short on again and said go for 18,000, which it did, and it rallied back to 20. We shorted again, and I said this time it will probably get down to 10,000, which it did. And so the Nikkei Dow was 18,000 several days ago, and it closed at around 13,000 today. 500 and something points, and those are a lot of points. And I would guess now we're looking at support somewhere between 10 and 12,000, and it's probably going to go down and test its low of about 7,600. And I noticed that condo and home sales have fallen off a cliff in the last few months in Japan, and of course, consumption continues to fall there. And their balance of trade is not as big as it was previously, and they really live by trade in the American market more than anything else. And so I see, continued problems in that area. And, there's just so many problems out there. I sometimes compare my publication to the Financial and Economic National Enquirer because, it's not easy to find something positive to talk about because the amount of real, truthful, negative factors is so abundant and it's overwhelming. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, there's nothing we as individuals can do about it except for to prepare financially and emotionally and physically for our survival.
Well, why
and the survival of our families.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners how they can get to your website, how they can get your publication, The International Forecaster, and how they can subscribe to it.
Well, The Forecaster is published by email every Wednesday and Saturday. There's some exceptions, but when we get around to it in the next issue, if you miss one because I have to do something else, then you're going to get double the pages anyway because I don't stop writing. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month as well, for those of you who are not on the Internet. And you can get a free introductory copy by going to two places. The first one is our site, and that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com. If you want to email us with a question, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. International_forecaster@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to call toll-free, you can call 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And I tell our listeners that I look forward to reading this. I read it faithfully twice a week when it comes. And, you know, it's 25 or 30 pages. But the information you need to be able to figure out what's going on and to anticipate it is all there. And the people who, you know, several years ago took Bob's advice have done very, very well. But it's not too late. And certainly right now, with the price of gold and silver down, it's a wonderful time to buy. And certainly, remember, I'm not a financial advisor, but I can tell you I've been at this for 45 years, and I've learned a certain amount by making a lot of mistakes. And I think that we are living in one of the most dangerous, challenging, certainly frightening, exciting times of our history. And tragically, an awful lot of people are going to get wiped out, and they're going to lose everything they have, because when you destroy the value of the currency, you destroy the society, and they know exactly what they're doing. That's why they tell you we have 3% inflation, or maybe 3.5% inflation, when it's probably up to 10 to 12% inflation, and of course rising all the time. So this has happened to every other country that's ever been in the fiat money system, and of course it's happening here. And then of course, if you look at it from a spiritual point of view, why wouldn't God bring his judgment on America? Why wouldn't a just God bring his judgment upon America? Well, go ahead and pick up the story, Bob.
Well, I think that we just saw a trip to the Middle East that was, generally speaking, by the president, a waste of time. I had an enormous amount of people guarding him, and goodness knows what it cost the American people. And I think did it to increase his ratings among the public, because usually when you go to a foreign country, what happens is that your polling or survey numbers go up. That's just what's happened historically.
But all he was doing really was, of course, threatening Iran and doing everything he could to create an incident to justify attacking Iran. Obviously, he wants to go to war with Iran as well.
Well, you're right, and he doesn't want to give up. And
He doesn't care what the National Intelligence, estimate came up with it. I mean, he has an agenda. At least the people who control him have an agenda, and that seems to be to get us into a war with the Muslim world. And I don't know a better way to do it. And certainly, the people over there and in the Gulf, Persian Gulf countries and Saudi Arabia, they don't want to pursue, have us go to war with Iran, because it could spill over into their country as well.
Well, I don't know exactly the timing on this, but it's all bad. And I would not be surprised if there was an extension of warfare in Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan. And perhaps even Kosovo, during this next year prior to the election. And something's going to happen. I don't know exactly what. And when is it going to happen? Probably in the spring, between March and June. And that would be an appropriate time so that they can have another invasion of some place and another occupation, and that would, you know, justify blaming the financial problems that we have on these undemocratic terrorist nations that have the world by the throat, when, of course, the real culprit is the United States government, which has got the world by the throat and is sponsoring wars all over the world, along with Great Britain and others, for a long, long time.
In fact, your latest issue, or the issue before that, talking about Sybil Edmonds and her story that's being thoroughly suppressed by the American media. But, I mean, here's a woman who is a translator for the FBI, who has, of course, been gagged. They threatened to send her to prison if she told what she knew about what she learned when she was a translator. And of course, she's appealed it to every level of court, all the way to the Supreme Court. And they won't even review the case because they don't want the American people to know what Sybil's story is. And what is her story? That our government has been transferring nuclear technology and nuclear material to Pakistan and allowed them to build their bombs. Now, why would we do that when we're telling the American people we don't want to increase the number of bombs? Countries that have bombs, and now Pakistan has it, but they have it thanks to the people in our State Department and our Justice Department, and the last thing they want the American people to know is what they've been doing. And why would they want that? Well, I think we're arming Pakistan in preparation for the coming war with the Muslim world. And after all, if they have nuclear weapons, why, we can have a really good war and maybe even have attacks in America. And then, of course, we'd have to rally behind the government and have martial law, because after all, we'd have chaos. And that's exactly what these people want. And they've covered up that Sybil Edmonds story, and I was so glad you had it there in the forecaster.
Well, thank you. I've not done too much on that in the last couple of years, but she's got their number, and all of the press, of course, blacks it out.
You can't get
the information unless you go to not only my publication, but a handful of others, and that's it.
Now, the Sunday Times in Britain actually published this on the 6th of January of this year, this story. But, of course, everybody's missed the point. Why would they cover up the fact there was a spy ring that was sending nuclear material? Why would they put the gag order on Sybil Edmonds to keep her from getting out the information that high government officials had actually allowed the nuclear arming of Pakistan? It's because they want to nuclear arms to Pakistan, just like they funded Adolf Hitler before the Second World War. They funded the Russians, who were supplying the weapons to the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War, and the North Vietnamese were killing our troops in South Vietnam, as we're funding Pakistan, that's funding the Taliban, that's killing our troops in Afghanistan today. It's like deja vu all over again, and the American people can't believe that. Why, nobody would do anything that rotten or evil. Build up Adolf Hitler in preparation for the Second World War, and yet that's exactly what happened.
Well, that's the kind of people we're dealing with. They're satanic, and you don't have to go any further on it, because it explains what they're into and what they're up to.
Absolutely, and nobody wants to say that, though. But I'm glad
nobody wants to say much about anything, and even when people know, they won't say anything because they're afraid.
Well, of course.
This fear is just not going to go away very fast.
Well, people are going to have to learn to put their faith in the Lord and speak up, or this country as we've known it will simply become a remembrance of things past. But I love having you on, Bob, because you're one of the few people who really has a grasp of what this is about.
Well, gee, thank you very much. I sure do a lot of research on it, and I do a lot of talking about it.
I know you do.
And I'm on top of things all the time, so I hope I can continue to be as correct as I've been and stay good and healthy, so I can continue to do all these programs and write the publications so that I can keep people out of harm's way.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing. I think it's so vitally important that our listeners understand that we're on the edge of a financial precipice. And as the derivative market unwinds, as the price of oil increases, you know, as inflation increases in this country, as we continue shipping our factories out of this country intentionally to destroy the middle class, and there's not one person in a million who understands that what's happening is not accidental, it's all intentional.
You're right, and they're really getting to the service industries now in the American middle and upper middle class. And, you know, people are finding out that, you know, the factory's going to be moved and, you know, all of the administrative and professional jobs within that company and many others are going to be shipped to other cities in other parts of the world because they can pay them less. And if we do not put an end to free trade and globalization, offshoring and outsourcing, we will collapse as a nation. And I just, you know, the person I see really going after this, and he doesn't talk about tariffs, which are the appropriate solution, and that's to Lou Dobbs. He talks about it, but he doesn't come up with that solution because he's afraid to. And, you know, there's certain things that he probably is allowed to talk about and certain things he can't. And that's a very, very important part of the British mercantilist type trading, which we entered into in 1780. In the 20 years that followed, we opened our markets, and we get killed just like we're getting killed now. And, you know, nobody wants to talk about it. And, you know, we got to have free markets. We don't have to have free markets. We've never had free markets except for that period.
But, of course, the thing is that
period after 1962.
Well, we don't, of course, have tariffs on things coming in here, but the Chinese do everything they can to block imports from America. The Japanese have been doing the same thing. Everybody in the world is protecting their countries and their economy except our leaders, whose loyalty is not to America but to this globalist dream. And, of course, you know, the Japanese have a positive balance of trade. We have a negative balance of trade. Why? Because, of course, we have no tariffs and they can undercut us. I mean, there's no way that an American worker who, you know, at least needs $10 or $12 an hour to live, you know, can compete with a Chinese worker who works for 20 or 30 cents an hour and, of course, no benefits. So how could you have a labor market in America? You can't, and that's the plan. They know exactly what they're doing, as it says in the Earth Charter, redistribution of wealth not only within nations but between nations, or equitable distribution of wealth within nations and between nations, and we're doing equitable distribution of wealth. We're building up the economy of China and the third world countries and destroying the living standards of the American people. And not one person in a million really understands the implication of what it says in the Earth Charter, which you can find on the Internet. And just go to the Internet and Google in Earth Charter and read it and understand and look at point 10A. Understand this is the new manifesto for the world, the Ten Commandments for the world, according to Gorbachev and according to Maurice Strong and these fabulously wealthy people who wrote the Earth Charter. Because, of course, they're all deeply involved in the occult. Will you go ahead, Bob? He can hear me talk anytime. Go ahead.
Not nearly. But Maurice Strong is a protege of the Rockefeller family.
Right.
And he became immensely wealthy, and most people have never heard of him. But he was assistant secretary at the UN for a long time. And this guy is a real dangerous piece of work.
Amen to that. A multi-billionaire who got into trouble because he tried to make a few $100,000 by trading with Saddam Hussein. I mean, talk about greed. This man gives greed a bad name. With billions of dollars, he still had to cheat. And here's the man who's written the new Ten Commandments for the world, the Earth Charter. Well, our guest has been Bob Chapman. International Forecaster is one of the most important things you can read right now. It'll give you an overview of what's going on. And believe me, as I said earlier, I don't get anything for saying it. But, I mean, the International Forecaster is probably one of the most important and significant things I read every week. Well, Bob, go right ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Bob, did you go? Oh, I think Bob thought the program was over, because it really isn't. We've got another 3 minutes to go, and then I have to do my closure. So, Bob Chapman, well, he was with us this afternoon. It's rather late where he lives, so we understand he's taking off. Anyway, we certainly enjoy having Bob with us. And, of course, you have to understand the derivative market. And the derivatives are simply wagers. Bets is, or side bets that the people who issue bonds will actually pay the interest on those bonds. And of course, as long as the people pay the interest on the bonds, derivatives are a wonderful thing to write, and you can make a lot of money that way. You're just guaranteeing that the bonds will be paid for. But what happens if the bonds aren't paid for? Well, then you've got to make up the difference. Of course, you've got to provide the funding that the people who bought the bonds have lost. And we're talking about the derivative market out there of $550 trillion. And, of course, not only are, of course, the defaults on a lot of house mortgages, but defaults on credit cards, which have been formed into bonds, and defaults on the auto loans. A lot of people had bought the big SUVs and bought the trucks, and then they suddenly found that they couldn't pay for them, and rather than keep them, they've simply turned the truck in. And but then what about the bondholder who's expecting to have that paid off with interest for the truck or the SUV or whatever it would be, the automobile? And so these bonds are beginning to go badly. And this whole thing is designed, of course, to eventually collapse. They absolutely refuse to regulate this market, which they should. We're talking of a market of, I mean, it's incomprehensible, $500 trillion. I mean, all the money in all of the banks in the world is only about $45 trillion, and yet the derivative market is over $500 trillion. And when that thing begins to start coming down, why, well, it's going to drag down the whole economic system along with it. And as we see Citicorp and Merrill Lynch and Morgan Stanley and Countrywide, the largest lender in this country, all having financial problems, we know that we're on the edge of a financial precipice. Few people really understand the magnitude of what's happening, but they will. Unfortunately, most of them are going to figure it out when it's far too late. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just this is the time when I need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And, you know, I do this 5 hours a day, and, of course, even more than that when we're on other people's programs, and then we have to pre-record our Saturday program. But we have an outreach across America. We don't get paid for what we do. In fact, we have to raise the funds to buy radio time, but we think it's worthwhile, and we hope that you will as well, because most people will talk about what's going on, but never about the spiritual forces that energize this whole situation. Well, certainly we'll be talking about that in our January newsletter, and you'll certainly want to get that. So if you would like to get a copy of our January newsletter, why, that'll be available in probably in 3 or 4 weeks, and of course, you can get it by calling 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you will want to subscribe to the Radio Liberty newsletter, or join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and get our 4 best tapes or CDs of the month, plus the newsletter. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, if you'd like to. And then, of course, we want to mention we've got a great new pamphlet we put together. It's called The Financial Meltdown. It's a compilation of our 5 newsletters from July through November of last year on the financial meltdown. and gives you an idea of what's really happening as far as our funding is concerned and why it was that Alan Greenspan set out to destroy our economy. And he really has. We, of course, quote extensively from his book, The Age of Turbulence, into why I think he has done this. And then perhaps more to the point, we do have another pamphlet called The History of Money. What happened in ancient Greece? What happened in ancient Rome? What happened in Florence and Venice? And of course, what's the history of fiat money systems throughout the world? The History of Money is a little pamphlet, inexpensive, as all of our pamphlets really are, but they give you insight, and they're really compilations of our newsletters. So if you'd like to get them, of course, we also have my talk on the financial tsunami, and then we have a syllabus that goes with that. We have a 4-tape set on the financial Armageddon. We carry the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, which is written by our good friend Ed Griffin. I've known Ed for 45 years, and this is probably the finest book we have. In fact, we have an Amazon site, an Amazon bookstore. We probably sell, 5 to 10 of these sometimes a day. This book is going out all over the world because it's the best book to explain to you the finances and how they built a whole house of cards upon debt. Then the book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, by our friend Professor Sutton, that wrote this before he died, but it's a great little book. And then the book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. And all of these will help you to better understand what indeed is going on. So if you'd be interested in knowing more about the books and the suggested prices on these, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to understand the spiritual forces at work, our three pamphlets set, The Occult Hierarchy, three pamphlets. And then, of course, my talk on the Brotherhood of Darkness, either a CD or a book. We actually have the talk on CD, on DVD, of The Forbidden Secret. What is the forbidden secret? Well, we tell you. It has been passed down by secret societies for 5,000 years. And, of course, it was passed down through the Gnostics. Certainly, they got it from the Kabbalists. To the Templars, the Knights Templar, the Rosicrucians, and modern-day Masonry. The average Mason doesn't understand this, but the people behind Masonry do, and the upper echelons of Masonry understand this secret, and they understand it very, very well. So if you'd like to get the items, our number is 1-800-544-8927. And, of course, our website, radioliberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because if we don't have a revival, we're going to lose this country. Pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And for this hour, we're going to have with us Michael Woolsey, who has his own radio program. He's over there in Colorado, and he listens to our morning program. And Michael has a website. It's a very provocative website. It's called 911blacklist.org. And, of course, it talks about the various companies that advertised on the in the Popular Mechanics. It carried an article debunking the idea that there was a conspiracy behind what happened on September 11th. But what really happened on September 11th, 2001? Well, of course, we had the 911 Commission, but they took testimony from 1,200 people, and of course, they never revealed what 1,100 of those people said, and in fact, they sealed their testimony for 50 years. Why wouldn't they publish that testimony? Why did they want to cover up what 1,100 people who knew about what happened on that day had to say? You have to ask yourself. And of course, if you read the 911 Commission report, it's got a few interesting things in it, like when Condoleezza Rice was asked why, when the government knew the attack was coming, they didn't do anything about it, and she said quite openly why, of course, we had to have an incident. If we were going to get people to change their attitudes, we had to have an incident. And you'll find, of course, that all laid out in a new little pamphlet we put together called The True Story of 911. And then, of course, if you talk to William Rodriguez, as I have, he was the last person out of the North Tower. He will tell you about the explosions in the building before the plane hit the top of the North Tower. Well, with us is Michael Woolsey, and I'm sure he's got a lot of great information on what happened that day. But all you need to do is look at the demolition of building number 7. And if you can see this on the Internet, simply go to the Internet and Google in Building number 7 videos, and you'll see that building come down as the roof of the building caves in the middle, as they have to do so the building won't fall to the sides, and then the base of the building explodes and the building comes down symmetrically, you know, just exactly as was planned. And the question is, how did Osama bin Laden ever get those explosives into the building? And is it possible that Osama bin Laden didn't put explosives in the building? And of course, everybody will tell you, well, it was because the plane hit the North Tower, Building 7 or something, but nothing hit that except perhaps some debris from the falling buildings. Why did Building 7 come down? In my estimation, having talked to people who were there, it was a planned demolition. Well, hi, Michael. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan, and thanks for having me on your program. As always, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
All right, why don't you go ahead and let our listeners know a little bit about yourself and what you were doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I got involved with the events of September 11th going back to 2003, and I started to research the topic, and I wasn't ready to accept that 9/11 was an inside job at first, but I was made aware of the Patriot Act and some of the limitations that put on our freedoms and our God-given rights, and that to me was something that was real, very real, and something that I could actually look at on the Internet, and this was something that was rammed through Congress right after 9/11, and this was something that was very real, and so I began to look into that, and I formed an organization here in Colorado. It was designed to educate folks about the Patriot Act and what it did to our rights. And all the while I was looking into 9/11, and eventually I got to the point where I could not keep quiet about 9/11
anymore.
Okay,
you hold that thought right there, Michael. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Okay, go right ahead.
Well, as I mentioned before, I had gotten involved surrounding the Bill of Rights and the Patriot Act. And as I kept researching the events of September 11th, I eventually came to the conclusion that we weren't being told the truth, and I just couldn't keep quiet anymore. And I found a website on the Internet called September11th.org. And the website is still up there, but it's not really maintained today. But at the time, they the webmaster had a setup where folks could, from around the country could send in their name and their contact information and connect with other people in their area around these the idea that, that we weren't being told the truth about September 11th. And at the time, there was very little information out. There was a couple of videos out. Barry Zwicker had a video out, and George Humphrey had a video out as well. And there just wasn't a lot of people doing 9/11 research at the time. But we got together through September11th.org with two people up in Denver and Boulder. And within 3 weeks' time, we pulled together an event at a local church where we showed a film. And to my surprise, we had about 250 people show up, and I realized that there was a lot of hunger out there for information, and that there were a lot more people besides ourselves who were questioning the events of September 11th. And so we got together and we formed the Colorado 9/11 Visibility Project, and we worked hard ever since educating people here in our area, here locally in Colorado. Well, eventually in 2005, I had the opportunity to attend a national 9/11 event out in Washington, D.C., and I met many of the people out there who are involved in the national movement, including Janice Matthews over at 911truth.org. And I was really impressed with a lot of these people, and it wasn't long after this event out in Washington that I was invited to join the steering committee at 911truth.org. And so I started spending more of my time working on the national movement, and I had less time to spend on the movement here in Colorado, but, you know, I was still keeping busy. And at the time, I had a good friend of mine here in Colorado, George Flynn, who had a radio program called Words of Freedom. And George is very 9/11 hip. He knows what's going on in the world today. He's actually one of your listeners, Dr. Stan. And George began to have me on his radio program as a guest, and I had never been on the radio before, and I was very nervous, but, you know, George kind of broke me in softly and as a guest on his program, and eventually one day he came to me and he said, you know, I have to go out of town for business. Would you come in and sit in for me as a guest host? And, you know, I was kind of like a deer in the headlights.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Michael Woolsey. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Michael certainly has been on the staff of the 911 Truth Movement, or at least I should say working with them, the 911 Truth Movement, which is a national organization. He was telling how he got started doing talk radio, and a friend of his has a program, and he mentioned how frightened he was, and I couldn't help but chuckle because I remember when I first got started 45 years ago doing talk radio, calling into of the major station in Northern California, KGO, and you know, once you got over your fear of being on the radio and talking to people, why, you could begin then to articulate ideas and to be able to parry with the ghosts, with the hosts, and actually I eventually got to really enjoy this, and I always sort of dreamed about when I retired that maybe I could have my own radio program. And but how would you ever have your own radio program as a retired orthopedic surgeon? Well, the story of how we started out and of course, eventually put together a network of almost 60 outlets where we're heard every week, it truly is a miraculous story. I think the God was with it and really has directed us to do what we're doing. And I suspect he's been directing Michael as well. But Michael has his own radio program. How much time do you spend on radio there in Colorado, Michael?
Well, I'm spending right now a half an hour a month on the FM. As I mentioned before the break, George Flynn had sort of broken me in as a guest and then eventually asked me to guest host, which I did. And he eventually had gotten another program on the FM station here locally. And I've been sitting in for him, and recently I've become somewhat of a co-host in that I'm doing one program a month for him. It's a half-hour program without commercials, so there's a good amount of time to get, you know, some information out.
No, is that in Denver, or where about is it exactly?
That's actually in Fort Collins, which is in northern Colorado.
Sure, I know where it is. Go ahead.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, I'd set in for George many times and was able to have guests on, and, you know, I've had you on as my guest before, Dr. Stan, and I've had a chance to interview many people in the truth movement, And but I always wanted my own show, and as you know, it's very expensive to have a radio show.
Yes,
so
I know how expensive it is, believe me.
It is. And so, you know, I would encourage listeners to support Dr. Stan and his program, because, Dr. Stan, you certainly were an inspiration to me. And so, you know, folks definitely need to keep supporting you, and I definitely can't urge that enough. But I heard about this a venue called podcasting, and this is a way where the average ordinary person can do their own radio show. And so I learned about that. I got the software and the equipment, and I launched my program Visibility 9/11, which is basically dedicated to exposing the fraud of the official story of September 11th. And that's the basic premise of my program. It's basically an internet program. And over time, I've been doing it for 2 years now, and over time, I have secured quite a listenership. And, you know, I just have to say that, you know, without the listeners, you know, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. And so with their support, I've been able to get the equipment that I need to take the show up a notch and really produce a quality program with quality guests, and it's just been a real inspiration to me. It's a way to get information out. And through my program, I was able to meet one of my listeners who now does my website over at visibility911.com. And that's where I do my program. That's where folks can hear my archives and all the current shows. But that ties in with our campaign that we wanted to talk a little bit about tonight, and that's the 9/11 Blacklist campaign.
All right, go right ahead.
Well, you know, this is an idea that is not new. It's certainly not my idea, but I had thought about this for quite some time. And, you know, honestly, I didn't really think as a movement that the 9/11 Truth Movement was really where we needed to be as far as our numbers to really make an effective boycott. And at the same time, I didn't really have the resources available to me to be able to do something like that. I only have so many hours in the day, and I do you know, my radio program, and I'm sure you know, Dr. Stan, how much time that does take. And so I didn't really have the time or the resources to build a website, but I was really blessed one time when I was really needing somebody to do my website. I went on my program, and I asked my listeners if anybody could help me to get a hold of me. Well, a couple days later, I got a call from a guy there in Southern California, and he's been doing my website ever since. Well, come back in, I guess it was November of last year, I got up and I was reading through emails and looking at stuff on the internet. It was a weekend, and it was right about the time, I'm not sure if you recall this or not, Dr. Stan, but there was a hearing that took place. It was titled The House Committee on Homeland Security Using the Web as a Weapon, the Internet as a Tool for Violent Radicalization and Homegrown Terrorism. Now, this was a hearing that was given before Representative Jane Harman and at the Simon Wiesenthal Center. And basically, they were equating 9/11 truth with radical jihadist terrorism. And I thought, you know, this is just really scary, because this is something that I'm involved with. I'm exercising my God-given rights of the First Amendment to question the government, and yet here they are. They're equating us with terrorists here at this hearing before a member of Congress. And at the same time, there were people like Glenn Beck who were going on their television and radio programs and calling people like us names like conspiracy theorists and kooks. And then Glenn Beck actually went on his program and equated Ron Paul supporters and anti-war left, equated us all with terrorists. So basically we have an attack coming at us through a member of Congress, but at the same time the talking heads who are pumping out the propaganda to the masses are conditioning the American people to believe that we are terrorists, or we're likely to be the next Timothy McVeigh. And so I got really upset when that happened, and I called up Scott, who does my website, and I said, you know, I've had this idea of a boycott campaign for a long time. I never really had the resources. What do you think? And he said he loved the idea. So the next thing I knew, he had built the website, 911blacklist.org. And this all came about fairly quickly, and I would definitely encourage listeners, if they're concerned about this and if they are looking for a way to get involved, that this is a way that everybody can actually get involved and help out the 9/11 truth and the movement that, that says, you know, we don't know the truth and we want those held accountable for the events of September 11th. And this is a way where we can actually use our economic power to make these advertisers feel our presence.
And of course, what the, but they do is suggest that certain of the advertisers that are supporting this whole idea of destroying the 9/11 truth movement, and since they're funding it, then they should know that there are a lot of people who don't feel that way, and that they're going to be boycotted. And I will tell you, there's one thing that in capitalists fear, and that is a bad publicity. And of course, you do a good job. The 911blacklist.org website, 911 blacklist, and that's just 911 blacklist, all one word, .org. www.911blacklist.org is a beautiful website. I'm really very impressed by it.
Well, thank you, and certainly Scott has done a fantastic job, and he's made it, he's set it up so it's really, really easy to use. And, you know, certainly we know that advertising dollars are what drives the television and radio, and without the advertising revenues, these programs would not exist, because that's how they pay for it. And so by targeting these people who are advertising on these programs, like Glenn Beck, and eventually we're going to get to people like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and all these other people who are out there, you know, spreading lies about us. Now, for example, in March 2005, Popular Mechanics came out with their cover story titled 9/11, well, it was actually called Debunking 9/11 Lies, and the subtitle read, Conspiracy Theories Can't Stand Up to the Hard Facts. And this article has since been made into a book, and it is repeatedly cited as the authority for the official story of what happened on September 11th. And they're basically, in the title itself, they're calling us liars, they're calling us conspiracy theorists. And we just, you know, it's high time that we said, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. These advertisers and these talk show hosts and these publications have gone completely unchallenged by anybody for 6+ years now. And I feel like the time is right. And so if we can get folks on board and get them to go to the website, and if you like, Dr. Stan, I can basically kind of go through the website and how it works.
All right, fine. Well, we'll do that in just a moment or two. But I think it's important that people understand the background why people question what happened. Well, the reason people question what happened is because the Twin Towers fell at the speed of gravity, and you couldn't do that unless, of course, there were explosives in the building. There are still 1,100 bodies that have never been found.
That's right.
How could 1,100 bodies just disappear? I mean, did somebody whisk them out of the building, or were they vaporized with the explosions? I mean, the most of the computers, most of the telephones, everything was vaporized. How could that possibly be? And, of course, how could those buildings have fallen at the speed of gravity? There had to be something else going on, but, I mean, the big thing is, if you look at Building 7, it's very obvious that was a controlled explosion. If they lied to us about Building 7, then they must be lying to us about the other things. And, of course, we have a 4-tape set on why did the buildings come down, interviews with a gentleman who worked on Building Number 7, was there the day afterwards, and of course, with William Rodriguez, who was the last man out of the North Tower, will tell you an entirely different story. And why is it that these people have been harassed in an organized program? Why is it that Jimmy Walters, a multimillionaire, was forced to flee this country for threats on his life, for just questioning what was going on? And of course, you begin to realize that there is an organized effort to destroy anybody who tells the truth about what happened. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, Michael.
Well, Dr. Stan, as we were talking before the break, Scott has really set up the 911blacklist.org site to be very, very user-friendly. And excuse me. We have done all the homework for folks. And like I said before, I'm in the process of going through this March 2005 issue of Popular Mechanics. And we're blacklisting every single advertiser in the the issue. Now, this is quite a large project to take on all these advertisers, and so, you know, we can't possibly boycott every single advertiser in Popular Mechanics magazine, but we can take this particular issue and hit these folks. And basically, we have a way that advertisers can get off the blacklist, and that would be, in this case, to promise never to advertise on Popular Mechanics again. If they advertise on Glenn Beck, then they can get off the blacklist by pulling their advertising dollars from the Glenn Beck show. And so, you know, we don't feel like that this is going to be something that's going to be real easy, and we're really going to have to make our presence felt. So we have several plans in place, and the first one is basically for folks to go to the website. Over on the right-hand side, there's a list of categories there where you can see a list of all these all these products and services. For example, we have at the very top of the website right now at the front page, we have Evan Williams Whiskey, which is advertised in there. And I've done all the homework as far as the contact information. And we have phone numbers, faxes, mailing addresses. If you go down the list, we have Suzuki Motorcycles. We have all the contact information there. And believe me, some of it on some of these websites is not easy to find. So we've got all that contact information. And we also have sample letters. So if you don't have time to write your own letter, you can go and grab one of ours that we've already written or one that other people have sent in to us. And you can use that, put your name on it, and send that in. But that is the backbone of the campaign, is to let the advertisers know, because, it's great that we don't want to spend our dollars on Suzuki motorcycles and GM-certified used vehicles and Surefire flashlights and Mr. Good Ranch and so on and so on, but we have to let them know. See, we have to let them know that we're not going to use their stuff, we're not going to buy their services. And we do that by making a phone call, sending an email, or a letter. And so we've made that very, very easy. And I'm really excited to also talk a little bit about a joint effort that we have going on with TruthAction.org. And TruthAction.org is a website dedicated to action campaigns around the events of September 11th and getting justice and truth for September 11th, and basically it's an action campaign around the 11th of every month, where folks are hitting the streets every month on the 11th to protest the 9/11 cover-up. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be working very closely with people at TruthAction.org, and we're going to combine their street actions with the blacklist campaign, where we're going to try to get folks to gather outside one of these businesses where they are actually on the blacklist, and we're going to have protesters out there in front of their business.
And I think that certainly is a very efficient means. This is how they got rid of Donahue off of television, who was a reprehensible, vulgar individual, and it was targeting his Sydney advertisers that did the job. We'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Michael was simply pointing out that they have a program of blacklisting and, of course, of letting the advertisers who advertised in the issue of Popular Mechanics that did everything they could to discredit the 9/11 truth movement, let them know that that there are people out there that really are very unhappy with them, and they can get their name off the list by promising that they won't advertise with Popular Mechanics again. Because, of course, Popular Mechanics, although it used to be a fairly good magazine, is now simply a propaganda arm of the establishment. And they cannot let the American people know the truth about what happened on September 11, 2001, because it would be too horrible. The fact that they would allow almost 3,000 Americans to die because they needed an incident to get us into war. This is what it's all about. And if you doubt that, you really need to get our little pamphlet. We've just finished it. It's called The True Story of 9/11. And after you read that, I don't think there'll be any question in your mind. And we simply quote one of the highest officials in the CIA as saying off the record that when the dust finally clears after 9/11, the American people will realize that 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence, but a triumph. When the dust finally clears. Why, the American people will realize that what happened on 9/11 was not a failure of intelligence. It was a triumph, and that was written by a CIA official who had retired from the CIA. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to hear this on 60 Minutes. You're not going to hear this from Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or from Rush Limbaugh. They cannot let the American people know, because think of the implications. And then, of course, we get our material on all of the wars, whether it be the Second World War, where American corporations built the war materials and weapons for Adolf Hitler beforehand and during the Second World War, or Vietnam, when, of course, our government was, and our industries, and our State Department was financing the Russian communists, who were providing the weapons for the North Vietnamese, who were providing the weapons to the Viet Cong, who were killing our boys in Vietnam. And, of course, we did everything we could to prevent the military from winning that war, like we prevented them from winning the Korean War, like we're preventing them from winning the war in Afghanistan and Iraq today. All no-win wars. Nothing as it appears to be. But you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that this is because there are powerful spiritual forces that are guiding the people who are running our government. And not until you do that does any of this make sense. Well, what Michael is doing really sounds exciting. And certainly it can have an effect. We know, for instance, that Ford Motor Company is really on the verge of bankruptcy. And what nobody tells you is that the American Christian Association, Don Wildman's organization, has an embargo on Ford because of their support for the homosexual agenda. And people all across America are refusing to buy Ford products. And you'll never see this discussed anyplace, but Ford sales keep dropping and dropping, in large part because Christians across America are refusing to buy Ford Motor products because of their immoral position. Of course, they probably should refuse because Henry Ford financed both the communists and the Nazis. Of course, most people don't know that Henry Ford financed the communists who were building a Ford Motor plant in Gorky and financed Adolf Hitler and received the highest medal that any human being was ever given, any civilian was ever given from Adolf Hitler for his support for the Nazi movement. But, of course, be that as it may, today we see their organization, Ford Motor Company, supporting the homosexual agenda, and it may very well lead to the bankruptcy of one of the largest corporations in America. But, Michael, it would be great if you could accomplish the same thing and make these companies understand that we're either going to have to do the moral thing and support America, or they're going to lose out completely.
Well, that is the goal, and certainly Ford has been blacklisted at the blacklist site. They are part of the blacklist campaign because of their advertising in the Popular Mechanics magazine.
Oh, they are. So you're actually targeting Ford as well. Well, that's great.
That's right. Ford has a huge two-page ad, actually, in the March 2005 issue.
Well, then we shouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, the immoral people do immoral things.
That's right. So, yeah, you know, we're hoping that we can get, you know, some people to take the banners that we have provided at the site and post them at their websites and help us get the word out about this and, you know, put it in your email list and actually participate in the campaign, because that's what we need.
And, of course, that is blacklist.org.
911 Blacklist.
911 Blacklist.org. It's a beautiful website. I think it's a great idea, Michael. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Michael Woolsey, and we'll invite your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question for Michael, give us a call. And we'll be back here in just a moment. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Do you have any idea how, you know, what sort of a response you're getting there?
Well, it's kind of hard to tell. So far, we've been getting a pretty good response from some of the comments that have been left and some emails that we've gotten. We've had some sample letters, you know, that folks have mailed out, sent in, but we've been busy the past couple months trying to get the website kind of fine-tuned and get enough content added to really go public on it. And I think we're pretty close to being ready, and, you know, coming on your program tonight certainly is a good way to launch this campaign, even though we've been out there for a couple months, but we've just been working on it in our spare time.
So. All right, fine. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. I have three small questions.
All right, fine.
I was wondering if your guest could comment on the Chertoff connection to the Popular Mechanics article.
Yeah, as far as I know, his nephew, I believe, is one of the managers with Popular Mechanics or something like that.
They keep denying that he's the nephew, you know. He doesn't know, or the family doesn't know he's a nephew, or he doesn't know, but his mother does know. And so, I mean, you know, it's sort of vague. Do we really know if there's any relationship between Chertoff and the fellow who's the managing editor?
I've heard that is the case, but I couldn't prove that.
And that's, of course, one of the things is sometimes they will give you false information, then you pick up, then they've got you discredited. So, Mike, I think that unless we had absolute proof of it from some source, why we shouldn't use that, because you don't want to get off into side issues. Stick with what you know. And the only two things I do know is that, number one, building number 7 was a controlled demolition, and two, of course, that morning there was actually an organized effort to confuse the people, you know, with the FAA and certainly the people in the military response, and there was a stand down order so that the planes were not immediately dispatched as soon as the hijacking was reported. We know that. And, of course, that's covered very well in our new little pamphlet. So, but you don't get off into a lot of side issues, because then they can attack you. There's a few things that they can't attack you on. And one of them, of course, is the fact that, I mean, they should have dispatched planes, and they did not. They knew the attack was coming. They did nothing to protect the people there. In fact, they even relaxed the FAA requirements for people of questionable terrorist activities getting onto the plane. So, did you have anything else to say, Mike?
Well, I was wondering about any update on the... There's supposed to be a new NIST report coming up on the WTC-7.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with Michael Wilson. All right. Well, we're taking calls now. We have Mike on the line. We have Ray on the line. He'll be with us. And if you'd like to give us a call, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Mike was just commenting there's got to be a new report. What's the report, Mike?
A new NIST report on the Building 7 collapse.
National Airline Safety?
No, that's the National Institute of Safety and Technology, I believe it is.
All right, fine. So do you know anything at all about that, Michael?
Well, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, which issued a report on the quote-unquote collapse of the World Trade Center, was supposed to release a section on Building 7, which they have not done yet. Now, I heard a little bit about it, I guess, last week or a couple weeks ago, but to be honest, I'm not completely current on that. As far as I know, it has not been released.
My understanding is in September 2005, they released what they called their final report.
Yeah, but it didn't cover Building Number 7. It covered the Twin Towers.
Right.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, enough on that one then.
Okay.
I just understand they've got a new one promised to come out on Building 7 this summer.
Right.
Right.
And everybody's sort of holding their breath to see what kind of shenanigans they're going to put up.
But do you think any, you know, he who pays the piper calls the tune. And do you think that the government's paying for a report that is going to come out critical of the government? I mean, Jimmy Walters, of course, who is a multimillionaire who spent millions of dollars of his own money running ads there in New York City in the New York Times and buying time on television, spent millions of dollars. He came under such intense attack and threats on his life and harassment that he's living in, you know, in secret, in hiding in Europe today. This is what happened to William Rodriguez, and they tried to. This is what happened to Leo Chavez, we'd interviewed. Anybody who comes out and tells the truth, they will go after or they will kill. And there's no question at all that they would certainly do that. Michael Rupert, who'd written extensively on this, was poisoned when he was in South America. And last thing we heard, he had gone to Canada. We don't know whether he's living or dead. His office was infiltrated by FBI agents. one of his closest friends was an FBI agent. They were all there, of course, to disrupt his effort to get the truth out about what happened on 9-1-1. His book, Crossing the Rubicon, by Michael Ruperts, one of the best books out there, and at least as far as the 9-1-1. I don't like his views on peak oil, but on 9-1-1, it's excellent. And I mean, if you speak out and you have an audience, Mike, they'll come after you. And they will try to destroy you, and if they can't, they'll kill you.
One last thing. Is anybody in the 911 Truth organization concerned about Daniel Ellsberg being a member of the Council on Foreign Relations?
Do you know anything about that, Michael?
I can't comment on that. I don't know anything about it.
All right, fine, Michael. I think that we have to keep an eye on Ellsberg, although much of what he writes today sounds very, very good and very, very patriotic. I don't know. Is he still a member? I know he was in the past.
No, he's very involved.
All right, well, I think that you always then watch what they do. Remember that the people who are trying to infiltrate our movement are always going to be the best, most conservative, most loyal people you ever saw until, of course, they get into positions of control where they can destroy the movement.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks
so much, mm-hmm. And let's go to Ray, who's calling. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Ray. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I have a comment. One has to wonder why these talk show hosts like Rush and Bill O'Reilly are so vociferous in their defense of the government when there's so many holes in there's so many holes in it. The whole 9/11 thing, it seems like anybody with any common sense at all would come to the conclusion that there was something going on.
Well, I always like to say that Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity,
they're paid.
The finest conservatives that money can buy.
They're paid.
Why do you think he is on 600?
They're paid well.
They're very well paid.
Yeah, they're very well paid, but they've sold their souls.
Right.
As far as I'm concerned, and
no, of course, well, you know, if somebody offered you $1 million to go on radio and, of course, have an opportunity to... what about $20 million a year, which is about what Rush gets, I think.
What can be done to, fight against these people? What can be done... what can we say on our free, so-called free radio and on the airways in protest of what these people are saying? I'm very, very scared of some of these people because, they seem to be, I know they're hooked into the government, but I'm not sure how that works. Is it the American Enterprise Institute? Is it the neocons? Who is it? Who are these invisible people that are, is it Dick Cheney? Is it somebody beyond, that has more power than Dick Cheney? Who's really calling the shots?
All right, fine. Do you have any thoughts on that, Michael, before we comment? Go ahead.
Well, I can certainly feel Ray's frustration, and, a lot of people are out there asking what they can do, and that's exactly why we created the 9/11 Blacklist campaign, is because, Ray, this is something that you and everybody who is in a similar mindset as you can do, where you can, pick up the phone or send an email in your computer or write a letter, and you can actually make a difference. And this is something that everybody can do. And this is something that we really had in mind when we created the 9/11blacklist.org campaign, is because so many times I talk to people and they say, I know what's going on, but what can we do? We have these everybody in the media, like Limbaugh and Hannity, and all these people, they're totally
parrots.
Controlled.
Yeah, they're parrots, too, of the administration, I think.
Yeah, when the media in America is owned by five major corporations, then, something's going to suffer, and that is the information that we get. And so we have to take it for what it is. It's propaganda, and we have to do what we can to fight it. And as a single person, it's overwhelming. But as a group, we can get together, and we can say, we're going to speak with our dollar, and we have an economic force that we can levy against these advertisers.
Yeah.
Oh, Ray, you asked who this is. Well, have you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness?
Yes, I have read it.
But first of all, there are all sorts of organizations.
They're very shadowy figures.
But, of course, behind them are these powerful spiritual forces. Mm-hmm. And the goal of the spiritual forces for 5,000 years has always been to produce a world government, a world religion with a world leader. And, of course, this is coming to fruition at the present time. So, I mean, certainly you can go down the membership list of the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, Skull and Bones, the membership list of the Bilderbergers, the membership list, the Club of Rome, the Bohemian Grove, but until you understand the spiritual forces behind them, and many of these people are being used, they don't understand why they believe what they do. But, of course, they are being literally controlled by these spiritual forces. And if you read what these people say, and incidentally they're taking it down off their website because we're quoting them, but, you know, if you read what these people say, they will tell you how they're able to control people whether they know it or not. And this is what's really going on today. The spiritual force that is using these people in the Council on Foreign Relations to bring about this world government.
The other thing, too, is the media and Hollywood and the television and the degree of control that they have over our... If we choose to watch what's going on TV, which I don't, believe me, I've shut off the TV quite a while ago, but if we choose to do that, we're opening ourselves up to an evil force.
You're absolutely right. But, of course, you also want to know what the enemy is doing. But
right.
When you watch, you have to understand it's all controlled. It's all like Abbott and Costello or Martin and Lewis or Amos and Andy.
Yeah.
I mean, Abbott and Costello, all this fighting back and forth and arguing back and forth, it's all showbiz.
And Obama and Hillary.
Well,
well, you know, that whole thing, that is a real charade right there.
All right, fine.
Well, anyway, that's about
anything
all
else, Ray?
I have to say.
Okay, fine. Well, thanks, Ray, for calling. Our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you'd like to get into who really controls the media, there's a wonderful book. We don't carry it, but it's called The New Media Monopoly. You can order it from your bookstore. That's The New Media Monopoly by Professor Ben Bekdakian. And he will point out that he's been studying this for since 1980. And, of course, then there were 50 corporations that dominated the media. Today there are 5. And, of course, they are using their power. And if you work for them, you toe the line, or you don't work for them. You're out of a job. And if you try to tell the truth, they'll destroy you. And, of course, they're buying up our papers. They're buying up our publishers. And you find fewer and fewer publishers. They all tie in together. There are a few little independent publishers that are getting the truth out. There are a few little, well, I can't even think of the independent news magazines. We had one called Media Bypass, and of course it was infiltrated by FBI agents and totally disrupted. In fact, most of the conservative and Christian ministries have been infiltrated and been disrupted, and I hope you're being very, very careful, Michael, when people want to help you, to be sure that they are not, of course, on the other side, that simply they have to disrupt what you're doing. But I'll tell you what, you've got a great looking website.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan, and that's certainly something that, you know, we're very well aware of over here. In fact, I did an entire four-part series on COINTELPRO operations and the infiltration of our movement on my program. One of the interviews I did was with Dr. William Pepper, who has been out there repeatedly warning the 9/11 Truth Movement about the infiltration and about the disinformation campaigns that are underway. I personally have been attacked almost from day one since I got into the 9/11 Truth Movement, and we are being very, very cautious about it.
Is that the Pepper who did the work on Martin Luther King?
Yes, it is.
Oh boy, he's a great guy. I really should get him on the program. Maybe you could call me sometime and give me his telephone number. I'd love to get him on.
Yeah, I think that would be a great show, Dr. Stan. I'd be happy to connect you to.
And, of course, for our listeners out there, since this is Martin Luther King's birthday, you have to understand that he was killed by a government conspiracy. And actually, the family, the King family, actually took it to court, and they were bringing a lawsuit against some fellow who admitted he was part of the government operation. And the court found that the government was 70% responsible for the murder of Martin Luther King, and not one word in the controlled media, but it was Pepper, who is actually the lawyer, who actually represented the King family. And you probably out there in the listening audience have never heard this story before, that the government sent an innocent man to jail. The man who was supposedly James Earl Ray was accused of killing Martin Luther King. He was simply a patsy to cover up for the special forces hit team that was brought in to kill Martin Luther King. He was much more useful as a dead martyr than as a live campaigner against the Vietnam War, and they didn't want to get out of the Vietnam War. They wanted to keep sending our boys over there and slaughtering them in a no-win war. And, of course, the war ended when the time was right. But they prolonged that war for almost, 8 or 9 years as a great cover-up as we moved from being a free society into this socialist society. The Great Society came in then, and they found that the government, that it was against the Constitution to have mention of God and prayer in our schools. That was 62. But the other things were brought in and during the Vietnam era, and of course they found a woman had a right to abortion, and all of these things were covered by, of course, the blood of the victims over there in Vietnam. And while our boys were overseas fighting for freedom, we were losing our freedom here at home, as all power was centralized in Washington, D.C. And they will admit that among themselves. You can read the January issue, 1967 of Foreign Affairs magazine, McGeorge Bundy, Skull and Bones. CFR will tell you that, of course, the road forward at home is by persistence in Vietnam. If we were to pull out, there'd be a strong reaction against our programs. Those are his words, not mine. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, we certainly know that Dr. King was murdered by elements within our own government because he was speaking out against the war, and he was doing so many good things to, bring about civil rights for for the black Americans. And, when he came out against the war, that was pretty much the final straw that did him in. And Dr. William Pepper has written two books on the subject. One of them, I believe, is called An Act of State, The Execution of Martin Luther King. And he has studied this for 25 years. As you mentioned, he represented James Earl Ray in the, I believe it was an HBO trial that they did. And basically, James Earl Ray was acquitted, and there was an actual, a real lawsuit where the King family won, I think it was $1 million or something like that.
But they never got the money, of course, from the government.
Yeah.
Of course, the judge held the government was responsible for the murder. It was an open trial. It was a real trial, not on HBO. It was a real trial, and not a word of it in the controlled media, because they can't let the American people know that any more than they can let them know that 3,000 people died on September 11, 2001. And, of course, there is a great deal of evidence to suggest that those buildings were, at least the Building 7 came down by controlled demolition. And if they lied to us about Building 7, then they lied to us about the Twin Towers as well. And 3,000 people died, and 1,100 bodies have never been recovered. They were simply vaporized. If the buildings had pancaked, they would have been squashed. But they weren't. They were vaporized, like all the dust. Go ahead.
Well, that's an incredible thing that you bring up, the fact that over 1,100 of the victims who perished on September 11th in New York have never had remains, and the families have never had any kind of closure. They've never had anything to bury. And just as recently as 2 or 3 days ago, I believe, there was remains found at Ground Zero. So they're still finding remains. Here last year, they found a bunch over on the Deutsche Bank building, which they're currently tearing down. And there was even talk where they were going to demolish that Deutsche Bank building, but only because of people there in the area who are protesting, because there were so many remains still in the building. And, we're not talking about, arms and legs here. We're talking about small fragments of bone, an eighth of an inch long. And you have to ask yourself, what pulverized these people to the point where, they're picking up scraps that are an eighth of an inch long?
And how did they get over in the Deutsche Bank building?
Exactly.
This was just pancaking. Everything would have been simply squashed. but it wasn't. It was vaporized. And of course, but nobody wants to talk about that, Michael. That's the tragedy. And so our job is to try to get people to question, to think. And we have certainly a couple of four tape sets on 9/11, a 9/11 update. We have a four tape set on why did the buildings come down? Why did the buildings come down? Why did the Twin Towers come down the way they did? Why did they fall at the speed of gravity? And of course, why was Jimmy Walters, who asked that question, harassed and threatened to the point where he's living and hiding in Europe today? Go up on the internet, look up Jimmy Walters and get his message up on his website. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program with Michael Woolsey. Well, Michael, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, first of all, thanks for having me on your program. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, and I appreciate you helping us get the word out about our 9/11 Blacklist campaign. Folks can check out more about that at 911blacklist.org. And this is a way that everybody can get involved. And, you know, as we've been speaking tonight, advertising dollars are what drive the mainstream media. And by targeting the advertisers on these programs like Glenn Beck and the other talking heads, as well as Popular Mechanics, which we are currently blacklisting, we can hit them where it hurts, and that's in their bottom line. And the, you know, the backbone of this program is for folks not only to boycott these products we have listed, but as well to send letters. And we've made it real easy to send letters and make phone calls. You go to the website, go down the list of blacklisted products and services. For example, we have the AARP, we have American Express, we have Bosch Tools, we have Direct Buy, Edward Jones, and Ford Trucks, on and on down the list. And we've done all the homework. You can get the phone numbers, fax numbers, mailing addresses, email, everything that we could find available at these different company websites. We have done all that homework for you. We have sample letters where folks can use our letters that we've used. We also encourage you, if you write your own letters, to send them to us, and we'll publish them at the website for others to use. But this is the way where we can make these advertisers know that we're out there and that we're not going to support their products if they're supporting this un-American programming with these people. They're calling us names because we dare to ask questions. And not only that, but the scary part of this is that they're equating us with terrorists. And, you know, my big fear, Dr. Stan, is, you know, when things get really bad and they start rounding people up, that, you know, we're going to be one of the first ones to get rounded up, and you know, we're running out of time. We have to start putting the pressure on the mainstream establishment, and this is one way that folks can get involved.
And I think it's an excellent idea, Michael, and I congratulate you for you and your webmaster going to the work and all the trouble that you have. I think it's something that we can do. I think it's an effective thing, and it focuses attention on the fact that we have never been told the truth. Why did Building 7 come down and wasn't hit? And you keep asking that question over and over again, and when you watch those videos on DVD, you know very well this was a controlled explosion, and if they lied to us about anything, then, of course, everything is a lie.
Well, Danny Jawanko, who was a controlled demolition expert from Europe, when they showed him the video of Building 7 coming down, he didn't know what it was.
Hold on, though. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, I guess it's been Michael Woolsey, and Michael, we're out of time, and I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us, and the best of luck to you, and I will get in touch with you, or you call me, and we'll get you onto our other programs, too.
Sounds good, Dr. Stan. Thank you again.
God bless. Okay, fine. That was Michael Woolsey, and a fascinating young man, a very dedicated young man, and trying to get the truth out about what really happened, because, you see, that was just the prelude. That was the justification to get us into a war with Afghanistan. Why did we go to war in Afghanistan? Why, we went there, of course, to catch Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda, but then why are we still in Afghanistan now? Certainly, as far as we know, Osama bin Laden is supposed to be in Pakistan, hiding in a cave. Why aren't we in Pakistan looking for him? I mean, if Pakistan is protecting him, why we should go to war with Pakistan? Logically, shouldn't we? If we should go to war with Afghanistan, you have to understand this has nothing to do with Osama bin Laden. It never did. We never tried to catch him. Why? Because he used to work for the CIA all during the 1980s, and no matter what they say, they can't undo the fact that we were working very closely with Osama bin Laden all during the war, the Afghan war against the Soviets. So, and of course, and who is the major funder of the world terrorist movement today? Why, our good friends in Saudi Arabia, and they're even funding the Wahhabi schools in America. They're funding the Wahhabi churches in America. They're funding the ministers are going into our prisons and recruiting people into this radical form of jihad. Why would we be allowing that? Well, of course, there's another agenda behind what's going on. Well, let me mention, if you'd like to understand what really happened, we have two great sets of pamphlets. We have one set, it's called 911 Foreknowledge 911. That's three pamphlets. And then the new pamphlet we've just come out with, a single pamphlet called The True Story of 911. It has got the information you need to know, you're not going to get elsewhere. We have the four tape sets, 911 and 911 update. We have the four tape set, Why Did the Buildings Come Down? And of course, certainly you'll get some of my interviews with Jimmy Walters there, the multimillionaire who actually is living in hiding in Europe. You need to understand that people who speak out come under threats and condemnation. Of course, Jimmy Walters didn't have a prayer warriors all across the country praying for him as we have here. And the only reason I'm able to continue doing what I'm doing is because we, so many thousands of people are praying for our provision and our protection. And so if you are a Christian out there and you believe in what we're doing, I hope that you'll join us and pray for our provision and protection. If you can't afford to finance us, at least we can have your prayers if you believe that we truly are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield. Again, you should read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD. And if you can't afford it, the DVD is up on the internet at RadioLiberty.com, and you can watch it there for nothing. We hope you'll get the book. Of course, my talk on Forbidden Secret is up on the internet, but we hope you'll want to get the DVD and the syllabus that goes with it. We hope you want to get the DVDs on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. We do hope that you'll want to get the book and the 4-tape set on Satanic Crimes, the 4-tape set on The Supernatural, interviews with Johanna Michelson and a gentleman who talks about the Aleister Crowley, who is a Satanist. And of course, the book that goes with that is entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson. And then, of course, the other book, The Hostage to the Devil. And then, of course, the four tape set that goes with that, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, because he wrote the book. And then, of course, we remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our web page is, well, it's RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com, please go there. Everything's free. If you'd like to help us, why, there is a place you can do that. But understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.